Welcome to the podcast of Trailblazers Incorporated, where we share the stories of trailblazing tradeswomen in hopes to inspire others to join the trades.
Good day, everyone. Today's podcast, we are joined by Teresa Danko out of Detroit, Michigan, UA Local 636. United, for those who don't know, UA stands for the United Association of the Journeymen and Apprentices of the Plumbing and Pipe Fitting Industry in the United States and Canada. It's a long title. That's why we call it UA. Anyways, this is my UA sister, Teresa Danko. A pleasure to call her a sister and a friend. And so, Teresa, I want to get right into it. I'm going to give you the floor. Tell us all about you.
Well, thanks, Jill, for this honor of inviting me to do this podcast. Yes, as Jill stated, my name is Teresa Danko, and I am currently a business agent out of Pipefitters Local 636 in Detroit, Michigan. I started my career almost 25 years ago. Prior to getting into Pipefitters, I was a corporate auditor for a retail firm. I went around the United States interviewing and interrogating internal thieves. And yes, I had no friends because you're an auditor. Nobody likes the auditor. The company was folding. I was looking for a career change. Happened to stumble across Pipefitters, took the apprenticeship test, passed the interview process, and yes, I got drilled as a woman being on the interview, and because I went dressed professionally as I would do every day, and my answer was, whether I was interviewing for McDonald's or the Pipefitters, I would have dressed the exact same way. Basically, I got that, kind of shut that guy up, and he's like, any more questions? And I got into the apprenticeship. Went through the apprenticeship and learned how to weld, did HVAC. Then after the 5 years, I did, I got the super apprentice, as we call it. We didn't have the Purdue back then or the Washtenaw Community College. But so I graduated top of my class, then proceeded to get into, instead of standing on the sidelines, proceeded to get involved into the political side of it because, you know, you just can't sit on the sidelines when you want change or when you can't bitch on what you can't do. So so my journeyman, who I worked with, Lance Pacey, he recommended me to run for delegate first because it was for the international conference. I made that and went there, ran for trustee. I was a trustee, a financial trustee for 6 years, then ran for the executive board, on the executive board for 3 years. Then, as everyone says, I broke the glass ceiling. I ran for a business agent, a female business agent. Yes, and was elected to the female business agent or business agent. Then my second term, I actually ran again and I won with the highest votes of anyone who ran in the business agent. And as my international rep points out, that I received the same amount of votes as business agent as I did for the delegate side. So he said, that's never happened. So they figured, he says, everyone who wanted you as a business agent wanted you as a delegate. So that was an honor. That was a true feat along the way. You know, I've helped a lot of members, you know, get through their struggles. Some days it's easier than others, you know, especially I think being a female in this, being a business agent, brings a different spin to it. Yes, people doubt, you know, when I first, they were like, who's the girl? Because I went from being a business agent in the Detroit area, which was the construction side, to being a business agent on the service side. And so a lot of the service managers were like, who's the girl? And it's actually worked. I've proven myself. And, you know, basically you have to answer their questions, be knowledgeable, prove that you know the information, and then the trust is there. And so the trust is there. And, you know, you plug along, you go along. And so with that, you know, we've accomplished a lot. We just had Mitsubishi, you know, VRF technology is huge in the Detroit area. And so we had Mitsubishi come into our training center and train 15 of our members. Due to the COVID, we kept everything at bay. So we had a smaller class. Making strides along the way. They, you know, some people still say, who's the girl? But the girl's proven herself. And, you know, just continuing to kick ass and take names.
Yes, and you do. You do. And I think it's really important to point out that you were elected. This was the people spoke, right? The people chose you to be in that position. So those that don't understand how that works, I mean, people have to vote for you to be in that position. And that goes to show just how the people in your organization feel about you. But you're also involved in the political engagement committee. I'm sorry, maybe I'm saying that wrong. You and Christina and Janet were on Tradeswomen Build Nations, which was wonderful. If you could speak about that for a minute, that would be wonderful.
That was actually exciting. We were appointed, Janet Powers Pasella, Christina Borellis, and I were appointed by Mark McManus, the general president, to be on the political engagement committee. And what it entailed was, I think it was 26 between managers, political leads, business agents, and working members. So basically we got invited to be on this, or appointed to be on the political engagement committee. We had met several times, you know, because of politics for the past 4 years in Michigan, or not Michigan, well, even in Michigan, we've had a tight feed Michigan, but United States and, you know, around the country, it's been a tough challenge. You know, the committee was put together basically educate our members on what's best for labor. It didn't matter if you're red or you're blue, it was what's best for labor. And so in regards to that, the committee was formed, and it wasn't an easy task. You know, you have all these different personalities in the same room, and we all have our opinions, and we all have our own struggles in our own states and our own counties. And, you know, like, I live in Michigan, I live in a heavy Republican county. Well, they flipped it this year and they went to Democrat. But, you know, I'm not, so putting the political stuff aside, but so when we were appointed to this position, it was exciting because, you know, it's huge. It's a huge feat for a female even to be acknowledged on that. So in regards to that, you know, let's just fast forward to Tradeswomen's Build Nations. And again, that was exciting. We were asked to do, do a little podcast of, you know, our political engagement committee. And Janet, Christina, and I, we work very well together. And, you know, under the direction of Laura and Jason Pope, they gave us, you know, a great direction on how to do it. And just being a part of it, being a female in this trade and getting an acknowledgement or getting even an appointment or letting us speak is huge. It's exciting because it hasn't happened in a long time. And so being in our positions, it's exciting. And I know I keep saying exciting, but everyone, if they take that challenge and they work hard, they'll succeed. And, you know, you have to have at least what ifs impossible as life. And so any little step that we make is exciting because it's us and we care. We love what we do and we care. And so in regards to that, that was, you know, Tradeswomen's Build Nation. The feedback that we received just on the UA side was incredible. The, you know, the text messages and the phone calls that we all received, it was good. It was perfect timing because we all needed an uplifting time, you know, uplifting event, and Tradeswomen's Build Nation was one of them.
Yes, no, that's true. That's true. I've only had the pleasure of going once before. I mean, this year it was a virtual conference, but I did get to go last year. And I'm telling you, that is an amazing, amazing conference. 1,200 women. 1,200 women. Because we almost broke that hotel. That hotel could not handle that many women. It was amazing to see that many women together. Was really, really awesome. Something else that I know about too that I'd like you to maybe share more information about. You worked with Flint 370 to fight the Flint water crisis. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, what a devastating event for the whole state of Michigan, and especially the Flint. What happened was they went on their own water sewer system, so all of their pipes were rotting, people at their house. It was devastating because the water was so bad, the pipes were so bad, Their teeth were rotting out. People were losing their hair. It was so sad. So we grouped up with all the locals in Michigan, and we call it Flint Water Day. We did it a couple Saturdays and Sundays. Filters were donated, water was donated. So we went to people's houses who signed up for it, and we put new water faucets, and we put new water filters, and gave them bottled water on people's houses. And everyone was so grateful that we were willing to help them. The one thing that came out of that, their pipes were all corroded, the street pipes were corroded. I mean, the devastation was just so sad. I mean, the house values went down to nothing. But the one good thing, Harold Harrington, the manager of Local 370, he worked really close with the city to get everything done union, from the digging to the installation of the pipes to anything that needed to be done to get these the residents clean waters, clean pipes, so they could actually live again, taking a shower where the water wasn't orange. And one of the the retired business agent, his wife was really sick and lost all of her hair. So it was affecting everyone. It was affecting members and residents. And so fast forward years later, they've installed a lot of the new piping. They're on a different water system. The city's coming back. The water crisis is not 100% over. The Local 370 still continues to work with the residents on a daily basis. You know, if they need something, if they need water, if they need the filter, they need a new faucet, repiping. We repiped some people's sinks, their showers. We put filters even on the showers because the water was so gross coming out. It was orange and it was rusty, and a lot of these people were elderly. And so it's coming along. It's a long process, but kudos to Local 370 that put this whole core group together. And Tom Bigley came in to help out. So it was an enlightening event because of the simple fact is we were helping out these people, and a lot of them were crying, and it's like you didn't want to leave their house because they were crying, and you wanted to hug them, but you tried not to. This is pre-COVID, so we went into the houses. But it is coming slowly but surely. But it was a great event, and putting water filters and new faucets and bringing everyone bottled water was enriching, and seeing how the appreciation that it went very far.
Well, I'm glad that things are improving there, right? I think everybody knows about Flint, Michigan for sure, right? It wasn't a story that was quiet, that's for sure. But we do need to correct things like that for sure. I'd like to kind of pull it back a little bit and find out more about you and your specific trade. So I have some questions I'd like to ask you, if that's all right. How did you get your start in the trades? We kind of heard a little bit about that. Do you have family in the trade?
No.
No?
No, I...
Okay.
My uncle and my grandfather were operating engineers out of Local 324, but that wasn't... I remember when I got in the trade, my uncle, because my grandfather has been since passed, my uncle said, "Oh, you'll never make it." And then when I was running for business agent, he's like, "Oh, you'll never make it." And then I'm like, "Look at me now, Uncle Flunders."
Isn't it funny that sometimes when people tell us we can't do it, it's not like we work harder to get it, but it almost is that. It's like, you know what? You say I can't. Watch me, right? Watch me. Because it's going to happen.
I always laugh because I was growing up, I was a cheerleading coach. And so I always used to tell my girls, I'm like, pace, and they'd like look at me, and I'm like, positive attitude changes everything, we can do it. And so that's my competitive, I have a competitive spirit, so I can do it. That's how I look at it. I can do it.
I like that. It brings a whole new meaning to pace yourself. Positive. I love that. I really, really love that. So another question I have is, how far have you explored your trade? Well, I mean, going all the way to business agent and stuff. That's a long ways you've gone. How long were you on the tools for? Because you've been in the trade, you said nearly 25 years.
So I spent 20 years, well, 19 and a half years on the tools. And then I got elected to business agent. So I've been a business agent. This is my fifth year.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's amazing. You're doing such amazing things. So what was your favorite thing about the trade?
The favorite thing is working with the membership. I ran, before I got elected, this is probably my favorite job, was working at Livonia Trans. I was running the afternoon crew for 18 months. And we just had a lot, we had a lot of fun. We got a lot of work done. But working with the membership, you know, it was a small crew. Being a business agent, it's a different side of working with the membership. You're not with the members every single day. You're in a different group of membership every single day. But yeah, just the different personalities that you work with. I liked the pipe fitting end of it because I did service, you know, welding and construction. So I liked the construction end of it probably the best, you know, because being a service business, being a service HVAC, the only girl in service at the time, you would walk on the job and you still got doubted, like, oh, do you know what you're doing? Because, you know, you have the tool belt on and say, okay, well, let's see what's wrong with this chiller. So, you know, you just, again, in being a chiller, being an HVAC mechanic, especially being a female, you have to prove yourself. So,
yeah, and we have been talking about that in the podcast, that every place you go, every new job that you start, you do seem to have to prove yourself time and time again. But also too, I think it's kind of important to point out right now, because you're talking about HVAC and pipe fitting and welding, that in the United States, your apprenticeship is very different than in Canada, because I am a welder. So that's all that I do. I weld. I do know a little bit about plumbing and pipe fitting because I've worked with so many plumbers and pipe fitters myself. But in the United States, it's a 5-year program and you are multi-talented. You learn, you know, you're basically a journeyman in all of them when you're finished, right?
Well, our apprenticeship is different. So when I went through the apprenticeship, all the apprentices starting out, they had to learn to pipe fit and weld. And then after 2 years, we split. You had to decide if you wanted to go service or construction. So after 2 years, I went to service. So I had 2 years of pipe fitting, but I still went to welding at night because we still had to pass our certs in order to pass our apprenticeship. Our apprenticeship now has changed, where from day one, you have to decide if you want construction or service. So the construction guys go to construction all 5 years. The service guys do all HVAC for the entire 5 years. We still have, you know, I always encourage our service apprentices to take the night welding class, because HVAC isn't just HVAC. You have pipe that has to be connected to chillers and boilers, and it has to be welded up. And so if you're multifaceted in HVAC and welding, then you will never be laid off, because it's very rarely slow in HVAC, but you can always cross over and learn and weld on pipe if something goes awry in HVAC.
No, that's so true. I mean, even in Canada, when you are, like, for me to just be a welder, I don't do HVAC or, excuse me, any of that other stuff. But the more tickets I have, the more employable I am. So I mean, we do share that in common. So another question, I haven't heard you say that there were very many women when you were in your apprenticeship and up to this point. So did you have other women that you could look up to or contact while you were an apprentice or, you know, honing your skills?
There was actually one lady that everyone, you know, she kind of like, so let me backtrack. In my apprenticeship class, we had the most women in the class. We had 6 women in our class. One went on to be a superintendent, one is a general foreman, and a couple of them have left. Well, 3 of them had left the trade. So, yeah, so that was 6. And then I moved up the political aspect of it. So there was, you know, there was a lady called Carol Neef, who was an older journeyman, that she actually, my very first day on the job, I was teamed up with her. And so she always said, if you ever need anything, even to this day, I give her a holler just to see how she's doing. And, you know, she's since retired. So all the women kind of like go towards Carol if they need something, any words of encouragement or anything, because she was probably one of the first females that ever came into the trade, into Local 636. So, you know, we can call her a trailblazer for the simple fact of she's, you know, she was one of the first ones in Local 636 and she's still around. So that's probably the one that, you know, everyone goes to. You know, if we have a girls event, you know, I always include her. I always try to invite her. And if she's available, she'll come. Right now we have 29 636 women in our local. Couple, you know, we just brought in a new class and we have three apprentices. Then they're second period apprentices. And then the rest are journeymen. Well, I take that back. We have three brand new apprentices and then one who's getting ready to turn out. She'll be turning out next April. And she's a tough cookie. She does her job, you know, she's a really good person. And I remember she had hassle. She was a first period apprentice and she got hassled at from the company, the contractor, and they laid her off and she was doing her job, but she was a female. So long, short story, she came into the office, we scheduled an appointment and she came in and we talked and I put her with another, I had no problems calling, you know, cause I know her work ethic. And so I called another company and said, hey, would you like to take, you know, give her a try? And they did, and they love her, and she's still there almost 4 years later. So yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We can do it. You just have to work hard.
Yeah. And yeah, that leads me to the next question. Obstacles. How many obstacles have you, is there any obstacles you'd like to discuss that you've overcome along your journey? I mean, we just discussed her obstacles, right? But yeah, what about you?
I'll go from the, when I was in the field to being a business agent, we'll do chronological. So going, you know, being in the field, being a female in the field, A, you walk on the job, you're already sleeping with everybody. Not sure if I could say that, but I just did.
It's being honest. We want honest stories. The rumors are incredible. I have to say I've experienced that myself.
Yeah. You get the little innuendos, like it's kind of funny because when the girl walks on the job, everyone's like, I don't want to work with the girl because they can't pull their weight. But then by the end of the job, everybody wants to work with the girl because no offense, we work smarter. You know, we're not going to lift that length of 4 inch and put it on our shoulder. No, we're going to get a tunnel buggy because physically we just can't do it. So the guy would get, you know, they would just think they're all cool and macho and they would put it on there. So the thing is you have to work, and I hate saying this, but you have to work twice as hard to prove that you can do the job versus the guy who walks on the job, because they're going to look at you different than they have. You know, like when I did HVAC, they looked at me like, oh, what do you, know, you don't know anything. And, you know, you have to prove yourself, even in the construction field. You have to work twice as hard because all eyes are on you. The guys know what you wear every day. You know, because again, you're 9 times out of 10, you're the only girl on the job. They know, you know, basically, oh, you took 2 potty breaks. Really? Like, come on. Could you stop watching me and worry, you know, worry more about your work? Then they always, you know, you get, oh, you're going to get the sissy job. Well, no, that's not how it goes.
Right.
So that, you know, that's some of that stuff. Being a business agent, the pushback I get is A, who's the girl? There's never been a girl business agent. You know, you hear all that stuff. Or how did you get to the position? Oh, you must have bought votes. You must have slept with somebody. And, you know, you get all that stuff. But again, you know, you have to prove yourself that you're going to work hard and do the job. And the membership had to have enough confidence in me because I got reelected for the second time.
Yes, you did. And that's again, like I said, you get elected. So it's up to the people, right? And that goes to show that you're doing wonderful things, right? And a lot of times you do have to look the other way when there's rumors and BS that starts, right? And it's unfortunate that that happens. And I hope that I can see a day where there's no more of that, right? You've proven yourself. And a lot of times, yes, we do have to prove ourselves time and time again. Yeah, but obviously you've proven yourself because you're kicking ass and taking names, like you said, right? And I know you're a friend of mine. I know you kick ass and take names. It's awesome. I love to see it. Okay, so more questions for you. What is it is a day in the life of Teresa? What does that look like?
Well, there's really not a structure in the day of life with Teresa because the phone could start ringing at 6:30 a.m. or 7 p.m. It just, whatever. Being the service business agent, it's different than being on the construction as a construction business agent because on the construction side, I went to, like one of my biggest jobs being that when I was a service, I mean, when I was a construction business agent and I had downtown Detroit was a Little Caesars Arena. So, you hit that job every single week, walking downtown Detroit. That was a lot of fun and hitting all the non-union jobs and running the non-union people out. So as service, you're fielding a lot of, because we have almost 700 service members. And so we're actually, there's a lot of fielding questions or a lot of meetings with, supervisors and and going on different job sites where they have a chiller or a boiler I still walk the jobs, different jobs, because the next technology is the VRF system, which is variable refrigeration, and it's just a standalone unit. So that's huge. So a lot of it is now getting our members to have the skills so the non-union doesn't get the job. And a lot of recruiting from the non-union to a lot of meeting up with the non-union members that we want to come to Local 636 or into the UA, whether it's 636 or a different a local in Michigan. So a lot of it is recruitment, retainment, interacting with the members and putting out a lot of fires. So there is no set schedule on Teresa. I mean, it's kind of funny because I'll walk in the house and the phone will be in my ear. It's 6:30 at night, and here's my husband. He's all ready for dinner, and I'm like, oh wait, I gotta, because my husband's a huge supporter of me. Could not do this job without my husband for the simple fact of, life of a business agent isn't just a 7 to 3:30 job. It's Monday through Friday. You can get a phone call at 11 o'clock at night. You can get a phone call at 5:30 in the morning. So in regards to that, my husband's a huge supporter in everything that I do. I tease him. I'm like, well, you stay with me for my HRA card, but he does love me, and he does support me in my job.
I have heard from the other sisters that yes, he's an amazing guy. So I believe you and them. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting him. Maybe when COVID is over, we can all get together and have some beverages and have some fun, have some laughs. I'm looking forward to that day. Hopefully that comes sooner rather than later. But thank you for that. What advice would you have for others looking to join the trades?
The advice I would have is have at least what ifs in life as possible. You can do it. It's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of hard work, but don't be afraid. Don't give up because that guy was shitty to you, gave you a snide comment. You know what? Look at them in your rearview mirror. And that's how I look at it now, is where I've succeeded or I've excelled. I look at all those butt heads in my rearview mirror going, look at me now. You guys all said I couldn't do it or I wasn't good enough. And so look at you now. And so in regards to that, you can do it. You have to put your mind to it. And yes, you have to know you're going to have some obstacles. You're going to have some snide ass comments, which is not fair, but it happens in life. You have to have thick skin. Um, don't don't go to the job site, you know, like looking like you're ready for a date. You know, throw your hair in a ponytail. And as I always say, you know, I've been called a grease monkey. And I say, you know what? I may be a grease monkey, but I can tell you, I said, I can buy the best damn soap, wash it off, and Ralph Lauren dresses me after.
I love that. I love that. And I totally agree with going to work, ready to work. You're there to work, not to mingle. You do get to meet a lot of amazing brothers and sisters on job sites. And there is a lot of camaraderie as long as the work is being done. You can have a lot of fun. I do have a lot of fun myself when I'm on job sites. So I totally get it. Yeah. So thank you for that advice. That is all I have for questions. Now I'm gonna, you know, give you the last few minutes of our podcast to add anything that you want to add, or if I've missed anything that you think should be included, please, it's all yours.
Well, Jill, again, you know, I thank you for inviting me to do this podcast. You know, you're a trailblazer yourself, and I give you a lot of kudos because you've done a lot. You know, we met last year. We had a lot of fun at Tradeswomen's Build Nation, and it's an honor to be called your sister. So with that, I say thank you. Going forward, if anyone is interested in getting in the trade, it's a great trade. You make lifelong friends. You can't take that away. You know, all the negativity, but all the positivity. I mean, we can sit here and talk about the negatives, but the positive that comes out of it is all the lifelong friends, the friendship. What you learn, like what I like is I drive by different buildings, like Children's Hospital was my very first job and in downtown Detroit, and you drive by it and you're like, I helped build the Carl's wing. And so that's the, you know, like marathon. And I have pictures and you stop, you know, all the way into the, you know, the top of the Coker. And so you drive by and you see everything that you've done. And that's fulfilling, you know, even especially because it was ground up. And, you know, Little Caesars Arena, and I went to a concert there and a hockey game there. And you're like, I saw this whole thing being built. And so that's the whole fun of all, you know, you put all the bull crap aside. But the fun end, you know, the end all result is the friendships. You know, you learn how to do more than probably, like, sometimes, you know, being a female, sometimes more than your husband knows. No offense, John, but but in regards to that, it's a great career. I would never steer anyone away from it. Again, you know, I did corporate life before, and I would not go back to my hair, you know, my heels and everything else. You know, unless I have to dress up for a meeting, I'll do that. But in regards to, it's a lifelong fulfillment, and you can't take away the skills that you learn.
No, that's fantastic. And you know, it's funny that I've said it many times that I don't have brothers of my own. I have two sisters, but now I have hundreds of union brothers, right? And I've met so many union sisters as well. That's it's a family, and I love that, right? Sometimes you work on lots of job sites together. Sometimes it's only one, but yeah, it's a wonderful thing. And yes, driving by buildings that you've been a part of, it's pretty amazing. Anybody that has family that has worked in the trades knows that, hey, I built that. Hey, you know, I was a part of that. Hey, I did that, right? And it's there forever. It's there. Usually right. It's there forever, right? It's amazing. Okay, in conclusion, I just want you to know that you're doing amazing things, and that is not going unnoticed. Women are watching and they are inspired. Like I said, you're doing amazing, amazing things. I'm proud to call you a friend, and you are a true UA goddess. amazing things you're doing. Keep doing the amazing things you're doing. Thank you for doing the podcast. I appreciate it. I really do. Even though we're not living in the same country, apprenticeship is apprenticeship, a tradeswoman is a tradeswoman. And thank you. Thank you so much for being amazing. We don't have a lot of female business agents. I think that speaks so highly of the wonderful things that you're doing and being elected, being chosen to be in that position, right? The people chose, the people spoke. So that speaks volumes. And you're just an amazing person all around. Anyways, I'm going on and on. I'm rambling. Sorry. Anyways, Thank you so much for being a part of this. I'm gonna stop recording now, but stay on the call with me, please. I have some swag and stuff I'm gonna give you. I got some stickers and stuff that I give anybody that joins me for a podcast. So we'll chat more afterwards. Thank you so much. You take care, Teresa.
Okay. Thank you, Jill.
Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and check us out at trailblazersinc.ca.